Hi, this is Don Pasco, and I'm going to read Joel's Gems, Joel Osteen Quotes, encouraging words of faith, hope, and instant inspiration. Introduction. I have always been attracted to self-help books, cassettes, authors, videos, you name it, and if it is inspirational, motivational, or oriented to success in any way, then you can be sure that I'm interested. I'm also a Christian and have always believed that a successful life must be one that has God in it. Back in the 1980s, due to the type of job I held at a Baltimore printing company, where I spent much of my time in a cubicle, I began listening to a huge amount of audio cassettes by successful authors such as Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, Earl Nightingale, Zig Ziglar, Norman Vincent Peale, Dennis Waitley, Og Mandino, and the list goes on. I still have a large collection of those cassette programs today on my bookshelf. At about that same time, on Sunday mornings, I began watching a few preachers on television, and I began to notice that there seemed to be a very clear correlation between what the preachers were saying and the principles that were taught by the self-help authors that I was listening to on a daily basis. I actually remember telling my wife Sandy about it. I felt as though I had discovered something that perhaps no one else had realized. How naive I was back then. I began to imagine how cool it would be if the two could come together in one person. Do you know what I mean? I began to wonder what if a self-help author would show how their teachings were supported scripturally. Although they occasionally would reference one or two universal ones, like the Golden Rule, or if a preacher would emphasize and present examples of success as a result of following God's Word. Well, if you know who Joel Osteen is and didn't just somehow find yourself reading this, then you know where I'm going with this. Joel Osteen is that person. I was probably the only one in my circle of friends and relatives that watched television preachers at that time, so of course it was only natural that I was the first to discover him. He became my favorite preacher almost immediately, and I started telling others about him and encouraging them to tune in to his broadcast. I have now watched him religiously, no pun intended, since his broadcasts first appeared in my area, and quite frankly, they are one of the highlights of my week. We are all three-dimensional beings, physical, mental, and spiritual, and as such, we must feed all three. Many folks on the planet seem to think that they can be all they can be without feeding their spirits. I suppose that most people that will read this book will already be Joel Osteen fans, and if that is you, then we have that in common, because in case you haven't noticed already, I am a big Joel Osteen fan. If you've seen him in person or just seen him on TV, then you already know that his messages are positive, inspirational, loving, sincere, and at times very funny. And if you expose yourself to his messages long enough and often enough, then he'll have you becoming positive too. Joel has been referred to as America's Voice of Hope. In publishing this book, it is my hope that I can help in some way to spread his message. And I can think of no better person that you could choose to learn from or expose yourself to than Joel Osteen. I have organized these quotes into groups, but I'm sure that you'll see that many of these quotes could just as easily been classified under other groups as well. In my opinion, that's just the nature of quotes. They can be perceived in a different light depending on your frame of mind or what's going on in your life at that time. The first time you read them, some may not seem to mean much, and yet at a later time may strike you as exactly what you needed. It is my hope that you will enjoy reading them at least as much as I do. Chapter 1. Gratitude. The seeds of discouragement cannot take root in a grateful heart. If you're not happy today, if you're down, or when you're tempted to get discouraged, the quickest way out of that is to stop focusing on what you don't have and start thanking God for what you do have. When we get up in the morning, before we read the newspaper, before we turn on the TV, before we think about our problems, the first thing we should do is thank God that we're alive. You cannot go through the day negative and depressed as long as you have a spirit of thanksgiving in your heart. We have to realize that every day is a gift from God. Once this day is gone, we can never get it back. How are you going to choose to live it? If you see somebody living on the streets, pray for them and then learn to say, "Father, thank you that I have a home." If you see somebody in a wheelchair, bless them and then say, "Father, thank you that I am able to walk." If you're in a wheelchair and not able to walk, thank God that you can see. If you don't have legs, thank God that you have arms. Find some reason to be grateful. We can all find some reason to give thanks, and being grateful is the key to living a happy life. Are you going to go through the day negative, discouraged, focused on your problems, what you don't have, and who hurt you? Get away from that junk and find some reason to be grateful. Don't take for granted the fact that you were able to get out of bed this morning without assistance. When you opened your eyes, you were able to see. When you told your legs to walk, they obeyed. When you went to the kitchen, you had food to eat. Some of you had too much of it, said jokingly. Don't take your health for granted. Be grateful that you can breathe without any problem. Get your mind off of what you don't have and use what you do have to make somebody else feel better, to brighten their day. If you do that, God will always brighten your day. When you have a heart full of gratitude, it leaves no room for complaining. There is always something to thank God for, no matter what kind of adversity you have in your life. Chapter 2. Encouragement. Get your fire back. It's not over until God says it's over. Start believing again. Start dreaming again. Start pursuing what God put in your heart. Stop focusing on your flaws and comparing yourself to someone else. God has made you unique and special, just the way you are. Your value doesn't come from what you look like, or what you do, or who you know. Every morning, remind yourself that you are God's creation. God created everything about you on purpose. Your looks, your skin color, your height, your personality, your talents and gifts. If you see yourself as strong, talented, and valuable, then that's the way other people will see you. It's up to you to get in agreement with God and realize how much He loves you and how special He made you. Quit looking back. This is a new day. It may seem like those dreams have died, but God can resurrect your dead dreams. He is a supernatural God. Be disciplined. Say no to your flesh. Learn to follow wisdom instead of following your feelings. If you do that, you'll pass the test. And when you pass the test, God will promote you. He'll increase you, and that's when you'll experience everything He has in store for you. What's in front of you is much more important than what's behind you. You may have gotten off to a rough start in life. You may have had more than your share of unfair things happen. But it's not how you start that counts. It's how you finish. Too many people live in the land of good enough. Don't ever let good enough be good enough. Keep pressing. Keep believing. You've got great things on the inside. You were not made to be average. You were made to excel. You don't know what God has put in your path. You don't know what's close to you. One idea, one phone call, one connection, and you'll go from dreaming the dream to living the dream. Get ready for the new things God has in store for you. God can turn your setbacks around. He can take your tragedy and turn it into triumph. No matter where you are in life right now, God has much more in store for you. God wants to take you to new levels in every area of your life. Chapter 3. Relationships. People don't change by us nagging, complaining, harping, or looking down on them. That doesn't motivate anyone to want to do better. That takes away all their enthusiasm. But when you encourage people, when you are kind and understanding, when you make allowances for weaknesses, when you overlook little things that could irritate you, you're sowing a seed for God to change them. Too often we try to fit people into our mold and make them just like us. We think, if they would just change, then I wouldn't get upset. If they would just do it the way I want them to, they wouldn't get on my nerves. Give people room to become who God made them to be. Life is too short to spend it trying to fix everybody. I've learned that you've got to focus on a person's strengths and learn to make allowances for their weaknesses. Realize that just because they're not like you doesn't mean they're wrong. They're just different. Every person has little quirks and peculiar things that can get on our nerves if we let it. But we've got to be bigger than that, to where we overlook those things and we focus on their good qualities. God sees every time you are hurt. Don't waste time trying to pay back those who have hurt you. God promises to be your vindicator. Quit trying to change everybody else, and let's concentrate on changing ourselves. Everywhere you go, strive to make relational deposits into people's lives, encouraging them, building them up, and helping them to feel better about themselves. I like to think of my relationships as emotional bank accounts. I have an account with every person with whom I have a relationship, whether a family member, a business associate, friends, even some of the people I meet in passing. If you want your relationships to thrive, you must invest in them by being a giver rather than a taker. When we correct people, we should never belittle them or make them feel insignificant. It's amazing how people will respond when they know that you are rooting for them, that you are in their corner, wanting them to do well. Chapter 4. Hope. God has already marked your moments for mercy. He's marked your moments for restoration. He knows how to get you back on the right track. Why don't you get your hopes up? Why don't you start believing that no matter what you have or haven't done, that your best days are still out in front of you? Stay filled with hope. Your dreams and desires may be taking a long time, but God is a faithful God. No matter how long it has been, no matter how impossible it looks, if you'll stay in faith, your time is coming. The forces that are for you are greater than the forces that are against you. Every dream that's in your heart, every promise that's taken root, God not only put it there, but He has every intention of bringing it to pass. You may have been through 1,000 disappointments. In the natural, you may have every reason to give up on what God's put in your heart. But I'm asking you to let this simple phrase take root. Your time is coming. God is in complete control of your life. He knows exactly where you are. He knows even the hidden dreams He's put in you. There's something about a person filled with hope. God always has the final say, and He is a God of justice. You may have been through unfair situations. Maybe one of your dreams has died. The bottom fell out. Let me assure you, God still has a great plan for your life. When you go through unfair circumstances, and we all do, somebody does you wrong or you get some bad breaks, don't make the mistake of constantly dwelling on that. Your best days are not behind you. They are still out in front of you. Your difficulties can make you bitter, or they can make you better. Don't let the regrets of yesterday destroy the hopes of tomorrow. Chapter 5. Faith. The Scripture says that when two of us agree, it shall be done. That's a promise. When we stand in faith with another believer, God will do what He says. You may have a job that's below your potential, but don't slack off when you're there. Keep giving your best. It's just the season that you're passing through. When we go through times of pressure, it shows us what we're really made of. It brings to light the impurities in our character. It shows us areas we need to improve. Sometimes what looks like a disappointment to us is simply God getting us in position to go to a new level. God never aborts a dream. We may give up on it. We may delay it. But the seed God put in you never dies. Your children will rise to the level of your expectation. God will only promote us as high as our character will take us. You may have missed plan A for your life, but God has a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, and a plan E. God will always find a way to get you to your final destination if you will trust Him. Start expecting the unexpected and look at life through your eyes of faith. When you do, God will show up and begin to work things out in your favor. You have to believe that God is for you and desires good things for your life. If you choose to stay focused on the things that are negative in your life, then by your own choice, you are agreeing with the enemy. You cast the deciding vote. Chapter 6. Love Yourself. God loves you too much to just leave you alone. He sees your potential, and He's not going to just sit back and let you stay in mediocrity. Don't listen to voices that are pulling you down. You may not look like you stepped out of a fashion magazine, but I can tell you this. You were made in the image of Almighty God. God wants to do something new in your life today. Let go of your old way of thinking and take hold of the new thing God has for you. God did not call you to keep everyone happy. It's good to be loving, kind, generous, but you are not responsible for other people's happiness. You are responsible to keep yourself happy. Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." Notice the prerequisite to loving others is to love yourself. If you don't have a healthy respect for who you are, and if you don't learn to accept yourself, faults and all, you will never be able to properly love other people. Understand that when you criticize yourself, you are criticizing God's ultimate creation. You may have some faults. You may have some things you wish you could change about yourself. Well, join the crowd. We all do. You are approved by Almighty God. Isn't that awesome? You are created in His image, and you are the apple of His eye. You did not choose God, but He chose you, and He is pleased with you, His most precious creation. Don't allow the enemy to bring strife into your life by deceiving you into thinking that you are not good enough. Stand strong in your thoughts about yourself, knowing that not only have you been chosen, but you are approved by Almighty God. If you're always on the go, constantly working, and never taking time for yourself, you will end up stressed out and overwhelmed, and you won't be able to enjoy life the way God intended. Living a balanced life brings peace, joy, and health. Take time to relax and rejuvenate yourself. When you are refreshed emotionally, physically, and spiritually, you are able to give to others more effectively. You are a child of the Most High God. You walk in His favor each and every day, not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. Chapter 7. Forgiveness. Each morning, forgive the people who have hurt you. Every morning, let go of your disappointments and setbacks. Each new morning, receive God's mercy and forgiveness for the mistakes you've made, and forgive others for the hurts they have inflicted on you. If you lost your temper yesterday, quit dwelling on it. You cannot undo that. You need to ask for forgiveness and then do better today. The Bible talks about being quick to forgive, and the longer we wait, the harder it's going to be. The longer we hold on to resentment, the deeper that root of bitterness grows. If you've made mistakes, ask for forgiveness, and then move on. God still has a great future for you. Holding on to the hurts of your past can poison your present and limit your future. Chapter 8. What you say matters. When you feel like dying, you got to talk about living. When you feel like giving up, you got to talk about pressing forward. When you don't see any way out, you got to talk about how God can make a way. You need to dig your heels in and say, "I may have been through a lot, but I've come too far to stop now. I refuse to get bitter. I refuse to live my life negative. I know God has great things in store." Learn to declare good things over your life. If you are negative and critical toward yourself, your own words can stop God's best plan from coming to pass in your life. When you get up in the morning, put your shoulders back, look in the mirror, and say, you know what? I've come too far to stop now. I may be knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. I'm going to get back up again. I know I'm a victor and not a victim. Every day, we should make positive declarations over our lives. We should say things such as, I am blessed, I am prosperous, I am healthy, I am talented, I am creative, I am wise. We must be extremely careful what we allow out of our mouth. Our words set the direction for our lives. Positively or negatively, creative power resides in your words, because you believe your words more than you believe anybody else's. Think about it. When you get up in the morning, instead of looking at the mirror and saying, oh, I can't believe I look like this. I'm getting so old, so wrinkled. You need to smile and say, good morning, you good-looking thing. Don't merely use your words to describe your situation. Use your words to change your situation. As you speak affirmatively, you will develop a new image on the inside, and things will begin to change in your favor. If you want to know where you are going to be 5 years from now, listen to your words. You are prophesying your future. If you're going to live a life of victory, you must speak positive words of faith and declare what God says about your situation. What you say in the midst of your difficulties will have a direct impact on the outcome. Don't look at the facts of your situation. Look at the truth of God's Word. Declare His truth over your situation until the facts line up with His Word. Your words can pollute or purify. If you constantly complain, you release poison into your life. Complaining is not based on your circumstances. It's based on the attitude of your heart. Chapter 9. What you do matters. Some of you feel as though life has knocked you down through disappointments, through unfair situations. But whatever you do, don't stay down. Get back up again. The pain of discipline is minuscule compared to the pain of regret. You are not working unto man. You are working unto God. We need to learn to discipline ourselves today so that later on we can receive the great reward. Later on, we can receive all God has in store for us. God is not going to increase you financially if you're not being a good steward of what God has already given you. You've got more in you. Push yourself a little bit. It may not have happened in the past, but this is a new day. And if you'll keep pressing, hoping, believing, not only will you rise higher, but you'll see things begin to change in your favor. You cannot change the past, but you can do something about the future. You will never rise above the image that you have of yourself. That's why it is so important that we see ourselves as God sees us. Anyone can be positive when things are going well, but the way you respond when adversity comes will make or break you. When you are full of joy and have a good attitude, you keep yourself strong. That positive attitude of faith paves the way for God to work miracles in your life. It paves the way for God to turn your situation around. The quality of your life is determined by the quality of your decisions. Because of that, choosing to live according to the Spirit is the most important decision you can make. Chapter 10. Enlarge Your Vision. You can't run from everything that's hard in your life and expect God to deliver you immediately. God uses these challenges to stretch you and enlarge your vision. Fight the good fight of faith. Remember, God will not waste anything you go through in life. You are growing. You are maturing. You are being prepared for promotion. Before you're ever going to be successful, you've got to see yourself being successful. Before your dreams come to pass, you've got to look through your eyes of faith and see them coming to pass. Chapter 11. Expect Opposition. Anytime you take a step forward, the enemy will try to bring opposition and adversity against you. When the enemy sees you are more determined than he is, he'll back down and you'll move forward to new levels of victory. As a child of God, you have the power within you to overcome the world. That includes everything in the world and everything the world brings your way. In order to think on the right things, it is important that you filter what you watch, read, and listen to. Don't let the enemy slowly deceive you into lowering your standards and desensitizing you to what is good and pure. This is the end of this audiobook, Joel's Gems, Joel Osteen Quotes, Encouraging Words of Faith, Hope, and Instant Inspiration. Please keep in mind that listening to these positive messages often can have a positive effect on you and your way of thinking. If you enjoyed this book, please tell your friends about it. For more information about this and other books I've written or recorded, please visit ebooksworthreading.com. And thanks for listening. Disclaimer information. All rights reserved. Copyright 2013, Don Pascoe.